I think a lot of trans girls I know feel like we feel like butterflies because we've come out as this new beautiful thing. But in the same way, like, you have to kind of break down first before you can, like, emerge as this new beautiful thing. So there was a lot of difficult moments along the way.
Danny Hoshino writes and performs music as Lightbird.
You had a good day, girl, so why are you crying on the train home from Manhattan?
This is a story called Among the Blobs. Oh, I'm terribly sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. India's parliament strips trans people of rights, the Maddow Nose and Don't Hide Pierce in the Rainbow Rewind, and Hoshino transitions gender and music to Lightbird. Those stories and more now that you've found This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Nico Raquel.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March
28th, 2026. India's parliament is stripping transgender people of the hard-earned fundamental rights established by a 2014 Supreme Court ruling. The new law completely upends how trans people are legally recognized. It narrows the definition of transgender, excluding people without official gender dysphoria diagnoses and those outside the four traditionally defined sociocultural identities. Trans men and non-binary people are effectively erased. Currently, citizens can apply for a certificate to legally identify as trans, allowing them to update their gender on official documents and apply for government welfare programs. With this amendment, their applications will be reviewed by a screening committee. Queer activists warn that this could be used to deny gender-affirming care.
This bill essentially rolls back legislation that declared transgender people as a third official gender and affirmed their fundamental rights would be protected under India's constitution. Associate Director of the Asia Division of Human Rights Watch, Jayashree Bajoria, believes the bill will put transgender people at risk and criminalize their existence by introducing legal punishments for coercing or alluring people to be transgender. Trans woman and activist Ukai Budmashali expressed her sorrow on Instagram.
I'm so disappointed. I resist. I fight against. I will not accept this. This bill, this is against my people, this is against my community, this is against our beliefs, this is against our identity.
Transgender and intersex athletes are now officially banned from competing in women's events by the International Olympic Committee. All women athletes will be required to take a genetic test to prove they are biologically female. Last week, public outcry from a coalition of more than 100 sports and human rights advocacy groups called for the Olympics to stop its plans to resume so-called sex testing. The IOC banned those tests 30 years ago on the advice of experts and doctors who said that genetic sex tests were inaccurate, unreliable, and harmful to women. However, IOC President Kirsty Coventry claimed the opposite in a video introducing the policy on March 26th.
The policy that we have announced is based on science, and it has been led by medical experts with the best interests of athletes at its heart. At the Olympic Games, even the smallest margins can be the difference between victory and defeat. So it's absolutely clear that it would not be fair for biological males to compete in the female category.
In the nearly 3,000 years the Olympics have existed, only one openly trans woman has competed. New Zealand weightlifter Laurel Hubbard competed in the 2020 Summer Games. She placed seventh in her division.
Coventry said that athletes would only be required to undergo the invasive test once in their lifetime, and that the organization would offer counseling for those who request it. Chris Majur is a competitive triathlete and duathlete who made history as the first transgender man to compete in the 2020 Olympic trials. He was on the front lines of advocating for a 2016 rule change that allowed trans athletes to compete in the games. He says the policy makes sports less safe for everyone.
So it's absolutely outrageous that the IOC would institute a ban on trans athletes under the guise of protecting fairness for women in sports, while simultaneously putting all women in harm's way by forcing them to do this genetic testing. Sports has already tried this before. The IOC has already tried this before, and it failed scientifically, and it failed ethically. If we really cared about fairness in women's sports, we wouldn't police people's bodies. We would build better sporting systems.
The international queer advocacy group ILGA says the policy fails women and girls. Their statement says, in part, any policy that invites scrutiny over certain women's bodies harms all women. And the harm extends beyond sports, legitimizing surveillance in schools, hospitals, workplaces, and every other sphere of life. IOC President Coventry said the policy will take effect for the 2028 Games in Los Angeles. U.S. President Donald Trump gave the credit to his so-called Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports executive order that penalizes organizations that don't follow his anti-trans position.
While the IOC and President Trump attempt to keep trans women out of competitive sports, the United Nations blocked a vote to define gender in biological terms. Earlier this month, at the annual UN Commission on the Status of Women, the U.S. was the only country to disagree. 37 countries voted against limiting gender to a binary, and 6 abstained. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said gender equality has always been a question of power.
Not a single step forward for women's rights has ever been given. It has been won.
Dominic Krause will become Munich, Germany's first openly gay mayor. He's also the city's first Green Party executive.
Vielen Dank, München, für dieses große Vertrauen. Ich fühle mich sehr geehrt. Vielen, vielen Dank. Und ich kann euch versprechen, und ich kann in München...
The 35-year-old Krause has served on the Munich City Council for 12 years. He won 56.4% of the vote against the former Social Democratic Party mayor, Dietra Reiter. Krause's victory ends 42 years of SPD rule in the city. Nepal is often recognized as one of the most LGBTQ-positive Asian countries, and voters proved it again on March 16th when they elected a transgender lawmaker to parliament for the first time. 37-year-old activist Bhumika Shrestha is a trans woman and the second openly queer elected official in the country's history.
Girl Guiding in the UK is forcing all trans members to leave the organization. Girl Guides are known as Girl Scouts in the U.S. It's the world's largest volunteer organization for young women. According to their website, there are nearly 400,000 members across the United Kingdom. Transgender members have until September 6th to withdraw. Trans volunteers will be allowed to stay, but only in roles that are open to all genders. The organization said the decision was made to comply with a 2025 Supreme Court ruling that declared that trans women are not women. Girl Guiding groups across the UK are protesting the policy. Guiders Against Trans Inclusion, an unaffiliated organization, released a PSA to reassure expelled girl guides.
We know you may be feeling angry, scared, and betrayed, and we are right there with you. This is going to have a devastating impact, and we are incredibly concerned that Girl Guiding are putting people's welfare at risk like this. We are going to keep fighting with you and fighting for you for as long as it takes. We will not back down until all girls and women are allowed back into Girl Guiding.
Space, the final frontier.
Finally, School is out at Starfleet Academy. CBS Studios and Paramount Plus pulled the plug on the latest addition to the Star Trek universe after 2 seasons. Critics of the Starfleet Academy accuse it of being too woke, but the franchise has never shied away from sensitive social issues. Television's first interracial kiss between William Captain Kirk Shatner and Black communications officer Nichelle Uhura Nichols during the 3rd season of the original series caused pandemonium. there have been several LGBTQIA+ characters, and Starfleet Academy features the first gay Klingon. Black British lesbian actress Gina Yashiri, who plays lesbian cadet Master Laura Thok, said in an Instagram post that she's gutted by the cancellation, but retains her belief in the franchise.
The message of Gene Roddenberry is still so apt. Obviously, the world is still not ready to hear the message of love, peace, infinite diversity, acceptance, the eschewing of violence and senseless wars. We're not ready to hear that message yet, and hopefully one day we will be, and Star Trek will be back stronger than ever, and preferably with the same message and not completely whitewashed.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending March 28th, 2026. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Ebony Joseph and Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Nico Raquel. Stay healthy.
And I'm Michael LeBeau. Stay safe.
Come on, Harry, we want to say goodnight to you.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. Now it's time to rewind the rainbow. This is the Rainbow Rewind,
where we take a quick look back at the people and the moments that made queer history.
I'm Brian DeShazer.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
This week, we honor the April birthdays of Rachel Maddow, David Hyde Pierce, and Samuel R. Chip Delaney.
Rachel Maddow is the first openly lesbian anchor to host a primetime news program in the United States. She has received multiple Emmy Awards for her broadcasting work and a Grammy Award for the audiobook version of her book Blowout. Maddow can be heard on her podcast and watched weekly on MS Now.
David Hyde Pierce is an American actor best known for his portrayal of psychiatrist Niles Crane on the NBC sitcom Frasier, for which he received 4 Emmy Awards, as well as 2 Screen Actor Guild Awards and 5 Golden Globe Award nominations. He won the Tony Award for Best Actor in a Musical for his role in the Broadway musical Curtains.
Samuel R. Chip Delaney is an award-winning American science fiction writer, memoirist, and critic, known for groundbreaking works like Dahlgren and Babel 17. Openly gay and African American, Delaney has long explored themes of sexuality, identity, and society in his writing. A pioneer in bringing queer perspectives into speculative fiction, his work helped expand the boundaries of LGBTQ representation in literature. Here is Chip reading from his 1988 short story, Among the Blobs.
This is a story called Among the Blobs. Oh, I'm terribly sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry. He swayed, one arm raised, torso stalled in the torque of its own turning. His name was Joe. To one side of his back was not a pain, nor even a feel, but rather a sensational ghost, an unformed blob.
Now let's rewind a few March key queer milestones. In April of 1974, the American Psychiatric Association removes sickness from its definition of homosexuality. In 2001, the Chinese Psychiatric Association removes homosexuality from the list of mental disorders.
In 1990, the Hate Crime Statistic Act was signed into law by President George Bush. It's the first United States bill to use the phrase sexual orientation. The first Dyke March was held in Washington, D.C. in 1993. The march was planned by the Lesbian Avengers, and more than 20,000 women participated.
That's this week's Rainbow Rewind, because remembering our past fuels our pride. I'm Brian DeShazer.
And I'm Sherry Lunn. Stay tuned. More This Way Out is coming up.
Transgender Day of Visibility has a special meaning for the artist now known on stage as Lightbird. This March 31st, as trans people around the world are vying to be seen, Lightbird wants to be heard with the release of her new single. For the story behind the song, here's This Way Out's David Hunt.
Danny Hoshino writes and performs music as Lightbird. It's a new name for the veteran folk rock guitarist, marking a new and deeply personal chapter in Hoshino's life. A life that seemed to unravel 3 years ago, when Hoshino came out as a transgender woman.
You had a good day, girl, so why are you crying on the train home from Manhattan?
Today, her life is transformed. She's starting fresh in a new city, New York, working on new songs for a new album, and living, finally, she says, the life she was always meant to live. I'm David Hunt. I sat down with Danny Hoshino, Lightbird, just 2 weeks before the release of her newest single, a bittersweet ballad titled All Right. It's a duet with Brooklyn singer Rye Lotz that explores the broken promises and broken hearts of a romantic relationship at its end. The music crashes as Lightbird takes a deep dive into her conflicting emotions.
You don't need a reason to be mad at me. I'm asking.
The song, released on Transgender Day of Visibility, is true to life. In 2022, just 5 weeks before her wedding day, the singer realized that the life of a cisgender heterosexual man was, to say the least, not all right, she explains.
I think a lot of trans girls I know feel like butterflies because we've come out as this new beautiful thing, but in the same way, like, you have to kind of break down first before you can, like, emerge as this new beautiful thing. So there was a lot of difficult moments along the way. I grew up in a suburb of Boston, Newton, Massachusetts. My mom's from that area. My dad grew up in San Francisco. His side of the family is Japanese American. My mom's side of the family is like Eastern European Jewish. We're a close family, and I had really kind of assumed that I would always stay in the Boston area and was very much on the path. At the time that I did realize I was trans, I was living up in another suburb of Boston, had a 9-to-5 job, and was getting ready to get married. And then this like lightning strike happened where I suddenly realized like some of the things that I had been trying to understand about myself were like this, you know, this very deep thing about gender that I had just never considered until I was in my 30s. Weddings, especially heterosexual, you know, traditional weddings are very gendered. Like there's so many things about them that are like very specific to the gender roles in terms of what you're going to wear and what you're going to say and what, you know, how you're appearing in the wedding. And I think that was becoming increasingly difficult for me to like visualize myself there. My mom kept poking me and saying, you know, have you found a suit to wear for the wedding yet? And I would say like, you know, like, no, I just haven't like, you haven't gotten that. But really what was happening was I was sitting at my computer and Googling men's wedding dress over and over because like I couldn't be okay with the idea of wearing a suit for some reason. And I was like, there must be something else I could wear that would make me feel, I don't know, right somehow.
Mm-hmm. been. Till I look back from now and say what it was then. Like, who was that girl?
I think the most important thing for me was deciding early on, like, I need to have, like, this is an era of my life where I need to be having my own back first before anyone else's, because I won't make it through it if I don't. And I think the songs sing to that, and to the sometimes like sad realizations of what that comes along with. I think specific to All Right, that song to me is, you know, I wrote it about the end of my relationship after realizing I was trans. And it was a really, really good relationship. It was somebody I was, you know, getting ready to marry, and someone that I love very much. And, you know, sometimes life throws you a curveball and something big changes and good, great things happen as a result, but hard, sad things happen as a result too. And I think that's, that song in particular sort of examines the tension between those two things, that like, sometimes you can't have one without the other.
Well, I'm sad and I'm lonely, and I feel that I only smile and get through the day. But I'm telling you, my baby, three cups and maybe I feel differently today. Oh,
it's probably cliche to say Lightbird is rising like a phoenix out of the ashes of her past life and loves. So let's just say her transition has touched nearly every aspect of herself, leading her in new directions creatively as much as geographically. The new album, likely due out in June 2026, is a case in point.
Yeah, so it's my first full-length album with this project, Lightbird. It's a collection of songs that most of which I wrote following my realization that I was trans and coming out as transgender, but some from before that time too. So I think the story of the album sort of like spans the time before, slightly before and after. So it's just kind of different parts of that journey to self-discovery and self-love and understanding.
Tell me about the name Lightbird. Where did that come from?
I have a song, it's one of the couple singles that I already have out that I had written years and years ago called Bird in the Dark. And as I was thinking about names, I think I was thinking about that song and sort of the imagery of like, I don't know, thinking of myself sort of like as previously sort of like a dark bird who was sort of like a little more reserved and meek and pulled back and not necessarily wanting to be in the spotlight, and now kind of entering into this period where I very much wanted to be in the spotlight and wanted to like celebrate myself and put myself out there. So kind of a bird stepping into the light.
It's hitting on the wind, it's skimming on the water, it's feeling the gift from the two little daughters squinting at the sun.
I've been a songwriter for a long time, and I've always, you know, drawn from that personal well for, you know, what I wanted to write about. But I do think that prior to all this, I just didn't really feel like I had a real perspective or a real like voice that I felt strongly about. And I think now being like, okay, I've really got something to sing about, has pushed me to make it that much more like honest and raw and exposed.
Are you surprised at your life?
Yeah, I'm super surprised at my life. A lot of days I kind of like look around at the people around me and like what my day-to-day is and just like still can't believe it. Most of all when I look at myself in the mirror or in the little video here, it's like I think even 3 years into transition, and most of the time I have this, you know, you have your kind of like inner vision of how you are sort of manifesting physically out in the world. Even still, it's easy for that to kind of slip back and for me to feel more like I used to feel. So the mirror has been a huge, is always a huge tool for me to like actually see myself and be like, wow, yeah, I remember one of the things my mom said to me in an early conversation after I came out, I was like, we were just so surprised because you know, we just didn't expect this. And I was like, I didn't expect this. I'm equally surprised. Like, did not see this coming, but I'm so glad it came.
What's next?
I'm still a very small artist, so music being my livelihood is, you know, not, I'm not there. So there's a lot of other distractions and things that I need to work on to just, you know, continue to exist, especially in a city like New York. But I really want to push myself to, like, focus my collective life energy on creating stuff and putting it out there and just kind of, like, so it feels like shouting into the void sometime. But even if it is, I'm just going to keep shouting because I feel like the worst thing that we could do right now is get quieter. So keep singing out.
Weeks from my wedding day, lying with my little bae, but I am taking flight at 30.
I'd like to thank Lightbird for sharing her music and her experiences for this program. Learn more about her music at lightbirdmusic.com. For This Way Out, I'm David Hunt.
Choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Ebony Joseph is our news editor. NewsWrap reporters were Michael LeBeau and Nicole Raquel. Brian DeShazer is news producer. The Rainbow Rewind was written by Sherry Lunn and produced by and co-hosted with Brian DeShazer. David Hunt produced our feature. Archive material courtesy of the Pacifica Radio Archives. Harry Styles and Lightbird performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, celebrating their 50th year together and in memory of Greg Gordon for his decades of service to the LGBTQ community, and all the listener donors who make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on KPFT Houston, Texas, WRIR Richmond, Virginia, CHSR Fredericton, New Brunswick, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.